Blog Talk Radio.
Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond.
Hey, yo, world.
You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your girl, Miss Diamond, and today we have a very good show lined up for you. We got a good topic for you. We got a special guest during my next segment. We have Brian O'Neill from the Bus Boys. Oh, you won't want to miss his exclusive interview. But first up, let me ask you guys a question. Okay, so I can go on and talk about the whole Jay-Z and Beyonce salon thing, but I'm not. What I will ask is, why do you think the focus on music artists' personal lives and not on the music that they sing, songs they rap, and how they perform? It interests me because the focus has shifted from the spotlight to their children, now to how they live, where they live, the cars they drive, but no one is concerned with what they're singing about. So, what's your thoughts on that? I would love to hear your take on that. So, call me, 323-642-1569. I am so ready to talk about this topic. Hit me up.
Into the world, you know that I'm that kind of girl who loves her diamonds in white pearls. So you told me to jet set away in London, to sip on some tea, to surprise me with gifts from Tiffany. Oh, I love the way we live, and boy, but my daddy say you don't need that boy, so let's run away. The one that the feeling you give it is like you got the key to my heart. If we'll ever touch and kiss, never knew a feeling like this. Pure bliss, pure bliss. Nobody can tear us apart. Baby, it's as good as a kiss. Loving you will never be hard.
Remember when the pilot closed the door, said it's time for liftoff. You said, what'd you choose me for? But don't ever wonder, 'cause you deserve the best. Once you reach the top, you'll never question why you left. Oh, my world is yours. What you waiting? Let's run away, let's run away.
Everybody, that was Bliss by John Legend Taylor. OMG, love that song, love that song, and I hope you guys liked it as well. So next up, I'm going to play R. Kelly's Echo for you, take y'all back a little bit. Let's go.
You ain't got a clock in the night. Girl, I wanna hear you echo. Wanna hear you echo. I called your boss and he knows you ain't coming in today.
Next in the morning, next all day.
So baby girl, pack a bag and head to my place.
Next in the morning, next all day.
And when you get there, don't stop, don't hesitate.
Next in the morning, next all day.
I left the key, so let yourself in, baby. Now drop your bag, pour yourself a drink. I left your neck clue by the sink. It should be a box with your name. Open it up, see what's inside. Whatever it is, put it on and head to the bathroom. And I'll be waiting for you right there, baby. I'll be waiting at the phone like crazy. I hope you're ready to go all day long. I hope you're ready, girl, to scream and moan like you lay, oh, lay, oh. Wanna hear you echo. My surprise.
Sex in the evening, sex all night.
Now I'm working it up and down like a roller coaster ride.
Sex in the evening, sex all night.
I got your eyes rolling back, fingernails in your spine.
Sex in the evening, sex all night.
We never had a sex session like this one in your life.
Sex in the evening,
oh.
Sex all night.
Now when we finally get to round 10, we're not gonna stop, we'll start again. And when you break, I'll let you up, I'll let you breathe. Wash your face, get something to eat. Then come back to the bedroom. And I'll be waiting for you right there, baby. I'll be waiting at the phone like crazy. I hope you're ready to go all day long. I hope you're ready, girl, to scream and moan like you lay, oh, lay, oh. Wanna hear you echo,
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 echo.
You lay, oh, lay, oh. Wanna hear you echo.
Screaming.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Miss Diamond, and that was Mary J. Blige, I'm in Love. Oh, that song always gets me ready for the show. So you guys ready to jump into this topic? Well, guess what? We have a caller on the line. Hey, caller, how you doing?
Hey, I'm calling from Detroit and to give you some shout-outs and congratulations. And I did want to speak on the subject. So the reason people are more interested in the musicians' lives is because we put it out there. And they want you to basically be in their life. So they do stuff just to get you to comment. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, Carl, I want to say thank you for tuning in today. I really appreciate your support. And I'm from Detroit. So shout out to everybody out there in Detroit doing it.
Hey.
You know, it's warm. So I want to say thank you for that. And, okay, so you said so they put it out there as if
yes.
they want you to know their business or to know what's really going on.
Yes,
because
there's a lot of artists you don't know nothing.
Today, Jay-Z decided that he would release a statement about what happened. And he basically said, you know, families fight, it always happens. You know, people go through their things, but as long as both parties are more forgiving to each other and they can move forward, that's what really matters. But to me, and this is just my own personal opinion, sometimes people do things for publicity stunts. I don't think
mm-hmm.
that this was a publicity stunt. I think that this was a real family issue that was actually caught on tape. And we actually got a glimpse to see exactly that just because you have millions, you're not perfect. And to me, this couple, you know, just in doing my research, Beyonce and Jay-Z is worth $900 million fine.
Hmm.
But to me, with that kind of money, it doesn't mean that hey, just because we have millions of dollars, we don't have issues. And we can clearly see that in the tape. So what do you think about the way that she handled it, though, the way that Beyonce handled it, just watching, sitting back? Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. You couldn't hear the voices of what was being said. I don't know if she was just saying something or if she was just standing there, but I'm not going to let my husband hit my sister, nor my sister hit my husband. I would have been in the middle of some, you know, trying to break it up. I don't think she handled that right. I still would have had some kind of input, whether who was wrong or right. You're just not going to do that. You know, that's just wrong.
Okay. I agree with that. You know, to me personally, putting your hands on anybody is a bit, you know, is a bit much, especially when you're a woman and you're trying to fight a man or go after a man, because when you go after people sometimes, they go after you, you know?
That's
and a
right.
lot of people were raised, mm-hmm. a lot of people were raised, you put your hands on me, I'm going to put my hands on you.
You absolutely
so,
right.
Thank you, caller. I want to say thank you for calling in, and I'm going to play a song for you. I'm going to play Sailing, because topics like this always get people blood pressure raised. So I'm going to slow the move down, and I'm going to play Sailing by Avant.
Well,
anybody
thank
else
you
want to say?
Thank you.
You want to say hi to anybody out there?
I just want to say hello to all the Detroit fam, the Bells, and the McGee's and the Blanchards.
All righty, then. You've heard it here, right here on Faces of Success Radio, your girl, Miss Diamond.
All right.
carry me. Soon I will be free. Yeah. Huh.
We're back live right here on Faces of Success Radio. I'm your girl, Miss Diamond, and this is Interviews with the Stars. So we have a good topic tonight, so we're going to go ahead and take our next caller. We have a caller from the 775 neighborhood. Hey, caller, how you doing?
Hi, Miss Diamond.
How you doing?
I'm doing good tonight. My name is Sequel Cole, and I'm calling from the L.A. area. I'm calling in to comment on your question concerning old school, new school music.
Okay.
Being in the from the old school area myself, one of the things that I really appreciate about old school music is they had more rhythm. You could hear what they were saying, and also they had a more selective, you might say, a more creative choice in their lyrics without being so explicit, whereas today, the majority, not all, of the music today, half of it I can't even understand or hear, and the other half of it, they just come right out and say it. They're not selective and creative with their choice of lyrics.
Okay. I think that that's awesome as well. I'm not exactly from the old school, but I was raised on it. That music really, really set the tone for where we are today.
That's true. That's so true. And that's
so
pretty much all
school,
that I want to say. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think with old school and new school, a lot of the songs that we had back then are now being sampled by the new artists. What do you think about that and how they're keeping the old school flavor alive with the new school music that's out?
Now in that regard, the artists who are sampling the old school music, they seem to they breathe new life into it. The majority of the music I've heard, the songs I've heard, sound really good. They have more of an upbeat to them, and they add just a few words. I like it in that respect, yes. When they do the sampling of the old school music, yes, I like it. I like it.
Okay, thank you, caller. I really appreciate it. So now we're going to jump into another song.
Thank you so much, Ms. Diamond. I love the songs you're playing as well.
Okay. Thank you so much. Well, I want you to tune in every Thursday right here on Blog Talk Radio, Interviews with the Stars, 5 p.m. Share the word, spread the word, and Faces of Success loves you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Everybody just bounce. Cause my love, it ain't the same, and you keep on playing games like you know I'm here to stay. Just like the cats on commercial life, really gotta get up out of here and go somewhere. Gotta make that move,
yeah.
For somebody who appreciates all the love I give, boy, I gotta
shake it off.
Gotta do what's best for me, baby, and that means I gotta
shake it off.
By the time you get this message, it's gonna be too late. So don't bother paging me, cause I'll be on my way.
Take my dough, my diamonds and clothes, just ask your mama, she knows.
You're gonna miss me, baby, can't you say I'm told you so?
Yeah.
Well, at first I didn't know, but now it's clear to me. You were cheap with all your freaks and lack and both of me.
So back up my Louis Vuitton, jumped in, you're ready to go.
You'll never, never find a girl who loves you more than me.
I gotta shake it off.
Cause my love, it ain't the same, and you keep on playing games like you know I'm here to stay.
Shake it off.
Just like the cows on commercial life, really gotta get up out of here and go somewhere.
I gotta shake it off.
Gotta make that move for somebody who appreciates all the love I give. Boy, I gotta
shake it off.
Gotta do what's best for me, baby, and that means I gotta
shake it off.
Gotta
shake it off.
Daytime, nighttime, yes, she gives me love. loving at the right time. Every day I love her just a little bit more, little bit more, just a little bit more. Every day I love her just a little bit more, and she loves me the same. Every guy that walks around the street, they say she's sweet. Oh, my baby, can I throw some flowers at your feet?
Like a man is supposed to, you'll never have to cry. No, I know everyone can relate to when they find a special someone, and she's royal, yeah, so royal, and I want her in my life. I never knew anyone so one of a kind. She moves to her own beat. She has the qualities of a queen. She's a queen. Ooh, ooh, what a natural beauty. No need no makeup to be a cutie. She's a queen. She's a queen. And when they ask what a good woman's made of, she's not afraid and ashamed of who she is. She's royal, yeah, so royal. And I need her in my life.
I never knew anyone so one of a kind until the night that I seen your eyes. So sweet, I can see it in her eyes, the way she smiles. Hey, yes I and I know the king and queen crown, see I'm tied, so I never leave your side. Just stick with me through the trial times. And she says she no mind. Her right and no good man is hard to find. And she can't about that giant line. That's why she has no ties at this time. Yeah, I know many men are trying, but she needs to be more than wine and dine, because she's royal. Yeah, so royal. And I want her in my life. She moves to her own beat. She has the qualities of a queen, so supreme. Ooh, ooh, what a natural beauty. No need no makeup to be a cutie. She's a queen, so supreme. Yeah. And when they ask what a good woman's made of, she's not afraid and ashamed of who she is. She's royal, yeah, so royal. And I want her in my life. I never knew anyone so one of a kind. No, no, the way she moves to her own beat. She has the qualities of a queen. Hey, we got it going on. Hey, we got it going on.
Hey, everybody, that was She's Mine by Darrington and She's Royal by Terrence Riley. So, man. You guys ready for this topic? All right, so I started off the show by talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce. Ah, that's old news. Let's talk about what else is going on in and around the media. Let's talk about Mr. Donald Sterling. Boy, oh boy, do we have a person of interest here. It's so amazing how usually they post things online about negativity, and here we have someone who's 80 years old, he's a billionaire, and yet he cannot move away from being negative himself. Now, we all know what happened. He was dating a young lady by V. Serlano, and she happens to be mixed race. She is Mexican and black. So he is also married. He has a wife. But Ms. V. Serlano is, now we know how the whole side piece game goes. It's, I'm going to pay you to be with me. Well, she was a little bit smart in this situation. He bought her a lot of lavish and luxury gifts, and they were all in her name. He bought her homes with an F. He bought her Bentleys with an F. He paid them off, zero cash balance. And they're all in her name. Well, seeming that he is married, the wife is angry beyond measure, of course, as any woman should be. He's a bit of a racist. Well, behind closed doors, you never know what people are saying and what people are doing. And seeming that he was in an interracial relationship with her, you would have thought that he was very accepting to blacks and, you know, how they supported his NBA career and, you know, because he was the team owner of the L.A. Clippers. So I guess one day she decided, I'm going to set him up. I'm going to record our conversation, and then I'm going to link it to the media. So, A, I'm going to get paid from the media, or B, I'm going to get paid from him because I'm going to threaten him and not link it to the media. And, oh, boy, did that cause a huge controversy. I mean, she has over 5 to 10 minutes of conversation from him talking about blacks. Don't bring them to the game. It's fine that you're friends with black people. Just don't take pictures with them. Man, that's major to say. You know, you would think that now the times have moved on where people aren't so racist and people are accepting of others. You know, everybody out here in the world is just trying to eat. Everybody's just trying to make a little money. Everybody's just trying to live. But no, some people who have money have difference of opinion, and they are exposed. And that's exactly what happened to him. Now, my question to you is, do you feel bad for him or do you feel bad for her? Her being someone who is of mixed race and dating someone like this and knowing he has a wife, that's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother show. But tell me, what is your take on that? I mean, really. And they're of mixed race. And you decide, I'm going to say all these racial things, but you're rich. And you know she set you up. Man. So, call me live. 323-642-1569. I want to hear what you got to say about that one. Right now, I'm going to play Let Me Ride by Dr. Dre.
Creeping down the back street on D's. I got my Glock cocked cause niggas want these. No sooner as I said it, seems I got sweated by some nigga with a Tech 9 trying to take mine. You wanna make noise, make noise. I'll make a phone call, my niggas coming like the Gotti boys. Bodies being found on Greenleaf with the fucking head cut off. Motherfucker, I'm straight. So listen to the play-by-play, day-by-day, rolling in my phone with 16 switches. And got sound for the bitches, cocking all the riches. Got the hollow points for the snitches. So won't you just walk on by, cause I'm too hard to lift. And know this ain't Aerosmith. It's the motherfucking D.R.E. from the CPC. On a riding spree, a straight G. Hop back as I pop my top, you trip. I let the hollow points come in, so pop, 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 yeah. Cause if it don't stop, I have to put my shit in reverse. Go back and take another spot, cause I'm rolling in my 6-4. What all the niggas saying? Hell yeah. What all the niggas saying? Hell yeah. Just another motherfucking day for Dre, so I begin like this. No medallions, dreadlocks, or black fists. It's just that gangster glare with gangster rap. That gangster shit makes the gangs a snap. Word to the motherfucking street. And word to these hype-ass lyrics and dope beats that I hit you with, that I get you with as I groove in my 4-on-D. Hitting the switches, bitches relax while I get my proper swerve on. Bumping like a motherfucker, ready to get my serve on. But before I hit the dope spot, gotta get the chronic, the Remy Martin and my soda pop. Now smelling like Indonesia. Bus stop full of fly bitches and skeezers on my dick cause my 4 won't hit. Pancake front and back, side to side and all that shit. So when I crawl, I come correct. Now if your bitch in my shit, it's your bitch you check, nigga. But let the Chevrolet slide as I dip and make a trip to the south side, yeah.
Rolling in my 6-4.
What all the bitches saying? Hell yeah. What all the motherfucking bitches saying? Check this out.
The sun went down when I hit flossing. On my way to the strip, now I'm just flossing. Checking my rear view, cause niggas they will do jack moves. Black fools, cause I smack fools. Trying to set me up for a 211. Fuck around and get caught up in a 187. But I don't represent no gangbang. Some niggas like lynching, but I just watch them hang. So on and so on, why don't you let me roll on? I remember back in the days when I used to have to get my stroll on. Did nobody wanna speak? Now everybody peeping out the window when they hear me beating up the street. Is it Dre? That's what they say every single motherfucking day. Yo, but I ain't tripping, I'm just kicking it. While my D's keep spinning and these hoes keep grinning, I be
rolling in my 6-4.
What everybody saying?
That was Dre Let Me Ride right here on Faces of Success Radio. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. You have tuned in to Interviews with the Stars. So with that being said, coming up next segment, we have Mr. Brian O'Neill of the Bus Boys. Oh, boy, are you guys in for a treat? Exclusive interview, all right? So just to get you guys in the mood and get you ready, I'm going to play a little bit of old school. Because that's the way we're going to roll for the rest of the hour. All right? Right here on Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond. Let's go.
Girl, you know I love you. No matter what you do, and I hope you understand me. Every word I say is true, 'cause I love you. Baby, I'm thinking of you, trying to be more of a man for you. And I don't have much of a chance, but we gonna see it through, 'cause I love you. Oh, oh. Oh,
You know, one time things got so bad until I had to go to one of my friends and talk to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm having problems with the woman that I love. It seems that I call her on the phone and I just can't get her to answer. And then I went to her house and I saw a car parked in the driveway. I knocked on the door, but still my knocks went unanswered. And then I went home and I watched television until television went off. And then I played my records until I just didn't want to hear them anymore. And finally I went to bed, but I found myself waking up a few hours later. And the tears were running down my face. And my friend told me, he said, Lenny, you just ought to forget about her. But I told my friend, I said, you know, maybe you've never been in love like I've been in love. And maybe you've never felt the things that I felt. But this is what I told my friend. I said, you know, sometimes you get lonely. You get lonely. You get lonely. And I cry. Would fill up in the wells of my eyes, oh baby. And then it got so bad, it got so bad. To one time I thought I'd roll myself up in a big old ball and die. And then I met you, darling, and you smiled at me. Oh, oh, it was such a pretty smile, yes it was. Reach out your hand. You help me. You help me. I won't ever leave you, baby. I won't ever grieve you, baby. I'm gonna love you.
was American Worker by the Bus Boys. So tonight's exclusive interview is coming from Mr. Brian O'Neill from the Bus Boys. I just wanted to get you guys ready and warm you up because this is an hour you won't want to miss. I mean, legendary, legendary group with high energy. So stay tuned in right here on Facebook Success Radio.
Say, can I shine y'all shoes? I just love to shine y'all shoes.
Shoe shine, boy. Shoe shine, boy.
Okay, okay, y'all come right now. Been all day shining shoes. When I got off, I wanted something to do. So I got a suggestion from a real good friend. He said,
check out the scene called L.A. Scene.
So I took out for that famous club. You know the one I'm thinking of. I went there to see what I could see. I had no idea they'd be stepping on me. Did you see me? I saw you. Did you see me?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I saw you.
Kind
left back so long.
The songs are for crazy, don't you know? The songs are for crazy, that are lovers, don't you know? Oh, if that woman had left me, I might not tell you so. But she did, and I do, and that's why I have to. Understand why I have to leave this town. Cause every time I turn on my radio, love songs are going around. So boy, if you see her, take my advice and stay away. Cause she'll take your heart and make you crazy. She'll love you and kiss you and make you pay. Play those blues, boy. That's why I have to go.
Why she do it?
But she did, and I do. That's why I have to.
Why she do it?
But she did, and I do. And that's why I have to go.
Hey, everybody, we're back. We're live right here on Faces of Success Radio. I am your host, Miss Diamond, for Interviews with the Stars. That last song was brought to you by the Bus Boys. It's called Love Songs Are for the Crazy. So today's special guest, I present to you and introduce to others, Mr. Brian O'Neill of the group The Bus Boys. Welcome to the studio, Mr. O'Neill. How you doing?
I'm doing extremely well, Miss Diamond. How you doing?
Oh, I am doing excellent, excellent.
Good.
So the Bus Boys, this group has such high energy. You guys are rocking and rolling from the East Coast to the West Coast, working with all kinds of celebrities and stars. And we here at Faces of Success Radio, we want to first say that we really love your music. You guys have really set the foundation for a lot of the music that is out today. And
Thank you. For some of you
who don't know, you're welcome. For some of you who don't know, the Bus Boys are from the early months of the 1990s. They've forever changed the direction of rock and roll. They're different, they're bold, and they rock. They actually set the foundation for acceptance of black rock and rollers. So, Mr. Brian O'Neill, tell us a little bit about how you guys got started and how that felt for you being such young teenagers.
Well, we've had a really wonderful grateful and rewarding career. You know, I'm born and raised here in Los Angeles, and I had started a band in my senior year of high school called Brian and Thangs, and we used to play around Los Angeles for all the dances that the Firebird and Camaro clubs would give, and we were kind of popular for a local band. And then in 1980, we started working with the manager, Roger Perry, and we changed our name to the Bus Boys. And, you know, I had these rock and roll songs that I had been doing that Minimum Wage and D-Day and some other tracks. And so we sort of put our concept together around that. And my thought was with the Bus Boys that I was trying to acknowledge the fact that we were a band that knew that they were starting at the bottom but were willing to work their way to the top. And we changed our name, started playing around town. We had our debut performance at the Whiskey A Go-Go with Madness from England and the Go-Go's, and things just took off from there.
That is absolutely amazing. I mean, to face, to first of all be young and to follow your dream, and to now look at where your career has taken you, that's absolutely amazing. That's actually inspiring the up-and-coming artists. Tell us about one of your favorite or your best studio moments.
I've had a whole lot of them, but some of my favorite studio moments. Well, our first album, Minimum Wage Rock and Roll, we did that, we co-produced that, my brother Kevin O'Neill and myself co-produced that with a gentleman named Robert Margulis. And Robert Margulis, I knew his work from having worked with Stevie Wonder for the three albums that had sort of gotten the Stevie Wonder genius part, like out of the little Stevie Wonder into the grown man genius part. he did a music of three albums: Music of My Mind, Talking Book, and Inner Visions. And that was right before Songs in the Key of Life. And Bob had co-produced those records, so I knew his work from that, because I was and still am a big fan of Stevie's. And so we were working, on our first album, and I think the song we were working on might have been D-Day or something like that. And when we got through with the track and had laid down the vocals, and we just put up a rough mix one night, I remember going like, wow. It's just a little bit of a surreal moment, because, you know, you kind of put your albums together in parts, almost like when you make a movie. You know, you do film it all in parts. And when I heard the playback from what we had going on, I went like, well, all right now. You know, we've come into something special around here. So
right.
that was one of my favorite moments.
Okay. All right, so that in itself, you know, looking back at that, it's like, man, those type of moments make you proud and makes your family proud. And it's like, wow, I'm really doing something. But tell your fans, tell your listeners the feeling you guys got when you really decided, or when you really said, oh, my God, we've made it. You know, when you're kind of in that moment and you're like, this is it. You know, you look around the room and everybody's looking at you and you're in it. You're feeling it. Tell us about how you felt when you guys really said, you know what, man, we've made it.
Well, I don't know. That feeling may still be on its way. To tell you the truth, Miss Diamond, I'm a person who's always been very much in the moment. And it doesn't mean that you don't have any perspective about where you are, what's going on and all that. But, you know, you set up goals for yourself and things that you're going to do, and then you set up schedules and things and budgets, and you do the work. And, you know, you're so busy doing the work that you really, I don't know if you have specific aha moments. I mean, I have one little moment for me in my mind. It was no bigger moment than any other moment. And this is just for me personally. We were playing at the Whiskey a Go-Go, and we had a sound check coming up. And I was running late, which those who know me would say, color me surprised, but I was on my way to sound check. And when I got there, there was a line of people that were all the way back up around the corner. If you know the Whiskey on Sunset Boulevard here in Hollywood, it goes up the side, Sunset, and then the right around the corner, it goes up a hill. And there's not a line out during that time period. They just let people in, or they do have some other thing going on. They go to the bar. So I thought something must have been wrong. Like, I don't know, man, they got raided or the
right.
Like the electricity dropped out or something like that. So I parked my car and I came around the thing and I asked a guy, I was walking up, I said, what happened here? Why is everybody out here? And the guy turned around, looked at me, and he saw it was me. He says, because we're here to see you.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay. Well, then let me go ahead and go to sound check.
I know.
Put this
let's
together.
Get ready. Yes, yeah. Yes. I love it. So the boys are back in town, made it to the soundtrack for the movie 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy.
Right.
You guys also opened up for Eddie Murphy's stand-up comedy tour, Delirious.
Yes.
How did that song end up on that soundtrack? How did that come about?
Well, it was a little bit of preparation agreeing with opportunity. The band had already finished, had done its first album already, and we'd already done a couple of national tours that had been really successful. And we were signed to ICM, the same agency that Eddie was with, and it's also the same agency that Walter Hill, the director, was with. My manager was also close with the people over there. So what happened was they had this scene already put together for the movie, and they wanted to have a band in it, but they wanted to have a black rock and roll band.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, then and now there are very few of those. You know what I mean? It's like there are a lot of great African-American artists that have incorporated, that are rock and roll artists, and then those who have incorporated rock and roll into their music. You know, starting with Chuck Berry, who started the whole thing, and Little Richard, and then Hendrix, et cetera. But at the time, we were the only band. And lo and behold, you know, their friends, they saw the album, and we had just finished our second album, American Worker, but it hadn't been released. And so they sent over a couple of tracks from the American Worker record over to Joel Silver, who's a producer and to the director. And they heard the song New Shoes, which was already on the record. And they said, okay, this will work for us. We could do this. Write four more songs like this. And I said, okay, great. So we wrote all these songs. We wrote Love Songs Are for Crazies. I wrote a song called Monkey Mash. Then we 48
yeah,
Hours.
Yeah.
And another thing. And then at the last, the contract was you have to write four songs. I had
okay.
only done three. And we were in the studio, at the demo studio, and it was like late at night. You know how like you go, it's like 2 in the morning, if you like look in the pizza box, the number Ryan's in there, and the guy's all tired and people laying around. I said, guys, we got to do one more song. I said, it's going to be an easy song. It's going to be in C. It's going to go dun 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 dun. I said, I'm going to put a little gospel lick in the front end of it. And they said,
okay.
They said, okay, so what's this opus going to be called? And I said, I'm thinking to myself, because I don't have a name for it. I'm just trying to complete the contract. And I'm looking at, we had just come off tour, and I said, and I'm thinking to myself, the bus boys have come, are back in the town. And it was just the song that was going to be, as I say, to complete the contract.
Okay.
Got the song finished, took it over to Joel and to Walter and to the people over at Arista. And I remember, I think Joel was listening to it. We were taking a meeting, and he was listening to songs we had done. And he listened to that song. He says, that's a really pretty good song there you got going. That's a good one. And, you know, of course, I just nod and smile, but I'm thinking to myself, movie people, what do they know about?
Right.
What do they know about? That was a throwaway song. And as it turned out, it just ended up being a really great track and became a career song for us. So it goes to show you, it's not always like this magic plan that you have that, you know, like, you know, I'm going to be in this movie and I'm going to write this song, the boys are back, and they're going to put us in it. In fact, when we got there to play on, to film it, the first day, we're filming, and about halfway through at about 2 o'clock, we've been filming since about 11:30. And we were just scheduled to film for that day. And they said, okay, everybody, take a break. We got to shut things down for a minute. And they brought me over to the bar. And I thought they were going to say, man, thank you very much, but no thank you. I was thinking to myself, I said, well, they still got to pay us for the day.
I know. Those are movie people.
right. So they brought us over there, and Walter and Joel said to me, and David Sussman, they said, we had no idea how good you guys were and how well it would translate on film. And we didn't even realize that you guys were a touring act and had all this going on. Sorry, we don't have a dressing room for you. He said, we're going to shut this down today. We're going to have you guys come back tomorrow. We're going to have a trailer for you. And we filmed all week.
Wow.
And again,
wow.
It wasn't a master plan in the sense that I knew that 48 Hours was going to turn into a music video three quarters of the way through featuring the Busboys. It was just, we were a good band that had been on tour, and we were playing and doing what we did. And I just did the stuff that we always did on stage. I just did it for the camera, and it worked out.
Wow, well, that's amazing. I mean, who knew? You know, humble beginnings is what I always call that. Well, the song The Boys Are Back in Town are also popular for TV sports programming, things for NBA and Fox Sports Network and Major League Baseball. And seeing that I'm from Detroit, my home team is the Detroit Pistons. When I tell you growing up, I heard the Detroit Pistons play that song at every game because they were called the Bad Boys.
The Bad Boys,
when they would
right.
come out on the, yeah, when they would come out and they would be ready to play, that was like their hype song. That was their hype music. And so growing up, you know, that song was notorious for NBA. And like I said, that was the Pistons theme song. So that song definitely takes me back. And it, you know, whenever I want to get ready for something, you know, and I want to get hyped, you know, and I think about the Bad Boys in basketball and how they did it, that's exactly the song. So that's amazing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give your listeners a treat. I want to play that song for them.
Okay.
And I want to put them in that mind frame because that song is notorious. I mean, 48 Hours, that movie is a classic. Eddie Murphy is a classic. And, of course, Brian O'Neill and the Busboys is a classic as well. So we're going to play The Boys Are Back in Town right here on Facebook Radio.
We've been waiting for a long time. Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time. But we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Well, there's a reason everybody should be shaking in the house tonight. And you should wear your favorite lady and promise her you do it right. Tail back, jack, jump back, give you a shot of some booze. So you can party to the song, down, but both in rock and roll, rhythm and blues. But the boys are back in town.
are back live on Facebook Success Radio, Interviews with the Stars. I'm your host, Ms. Diamond. And today's special guest is Mr. Brian O'Neill of the Bus Boys. And that was The Boys Are Back in Town. Boys has appeared in with such acts as ZZ Top and the Stray Cats and Brian Setzer and Stevie Wonder, TV show appearances such as American Dance Band, Soul Train, John Kirk Scherner's rock concert. They were recently in Nevada at a casino, and we are just excited to talk to these guys today. So, Mr. Brian O'Neill, how you doing,
yes,
sir?
Yes, Ms. Diamond. I'm just rocking and rolling, having a great time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, we've talked about The Boys Are Back in Town and how that landed on the movie and everything that happened with that. Now, let's talk about some of the other soundtracks you guys have been featured on.
Okay.
So, I see here that you guys were also on the film Ghostbusters.
Yes, we
and
were.
And it reached 68th on the Billboard chart, Hot 100 singles. Tell us a little bit about that.
We had, of course, already done 48 Hours and gained a lot of notoriety from doing that. And our manager, Kevin Benson, was working with Ivan Reitman, the director for Ghostbusters, and Joe Magic, one of the producers, and had presented the Bus Boys as potentially being involved with them. They said, oh, yeah, we love the Bus Boys, blah, blah, blah. So he called me and asked me, do we have anything that would work for the film?
Uh-huh.
And my brother, Kevin, had written this song, Cleaning Up the Town, while we were out on the road. I remember we did the demo, I think, in Orange, New Jersey. And it had just been sitting on the shelf, sort of just one of those tracks. And I thought of that, and I said, how about this? And so I sent that over, and they really liked it. They said, well, we need to change the lyrics. So my brother and I changed the lyrics to it and made it about the film, and they went for it. Now, I'll tell you another small bit of an aside there. While I was there taking a meeting, they were playing some music, some things that they already had in mind for the film, and they needed somebody to do the lead track. And they had more of a R&B type vibe for the lead track that you know really wasn't what we do. And I said to them, I said, one person you might want to consider is Ray Parker, because Ray, before he became a multi-platinum superstar artist, was like a top session guitar player here in town. Came from Detroit, moved to L.A., did all the tons and tons of recording sessions. And so I knew he had the kind of a work mindset to be able to, like, listen to the ideas that they had and maybe take them, flesh them out. Plus, Ray and I were label mates at Arista Records. Now, when I mentioned his name, nobody jumped up and said, yeah, like, bright idea. Go, Ryan.
Right.
Nobody said anything. It was just dead silence, you know, and everybody, like, kept on marching. Then the next thing I know, about 3 or 4 weeks later, I heard, who are you going to call? And I said, well, what do you know?
So
we contributed. The name of our song, again, was Cleaning Up the Town. And Ray's song came out first, and it was the first single, obviously, from the soundtrack, and then our single came out afterwards. And if anybody's ever wondering, it's the song when they first get their call to go bust some ghosts, the first call they get, when they speed off to go to the spot, they're playing Cleaning Up the Town. So, and we got a Grammy nomination for it too, and that was a great thing also.
You did, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Congratulations. So, tell me and tell your listeners, what inspires you to really write music? Where does your inspiration come from?
You know, I know a lot of people say similar things. I'm going to say it, and then I'll explain it some. It's just a gift, a calling. You know, I have loved music ever since I can remember. I'm thinking in the womb, and maybe before that. But ever since I can remember, I've been a big fan of music and been very interested in it and like it. And not, you know, just as a performer and a writer, but just as a listener. And that, I mean, I'm a big fan of lots and lots of music and listen to a lot of things, always did, still do, love great music. And I had started, I first started playing some bongos, and then my uncle Bert had a piano at his house. And sometimes when my parents would leave me over there to be babysat, I would play the piano just by ear, you know, picking out little notes and stuff. And then when they would come to pick me up, I'd play it for them. And I remember when I was 5, I asked my mother, I said, "Mom, I really want to have a piano." And my mom looked at me. She looked at me. She's like, "Brian," she says, "pianos are really expensive." And she says,
"Right."
She said, "I have a feeling, you know, I would think about getting one for you, but you probably want a piano today, and then, you know, in 2 weeks you'll want a bike." And I remember I was 5. I didn't miss a beat. I just said, "Mom, you're exactly right. I will want a bike, but I still want the piano."
Please don't get it twisted, Mom. Right.
So she looked at me like, "I guess this kid is serious." So she got me that piano, and I have been playing the piano and then learning other instruments and been singing and listening to songwriting and production on records and, you know, listening to records and going, "How do they do that? What's the process? How does a business work?" I've just been into it all my life. So, you know, but my inspiration, I'm inspired by all kinds of things. And I write a lot of songs that are not necessarily related to the busboys. You know, they're just songs that I've written that are just expressions of some ways that I may feel or moods or kinds of music or things that I'm into. I don't know when and where they'll be released or if ever, but I don't do it really just for that, for the release part of it. I make music because I love it.
Great. So who in your family, you know, tell us, so who in your family do you give the most credit to for your career? Because, I mean, when you guys started, you were only teenagers.
Well, I give my mother and my father both credit because, for first of all, you know, they were teachers here in L.A. and really great parents. And I'm sure they would not have chosen the music field for myself or for my brother, but it was just a natural thing. And they weren't particularly musical. You know, my dad could sing some and used to like to listen to Duke Ellington and Count Basie and some older big band 30s records and whatnot. And my mother loves spirituals and whatnot, but it's not a gospel singer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing they did, Ms. Diamond, is they gave us the opportunity to pursue our desire to be in music and to pursue the things that we liked. And so, you know, I went to school and did all the same things everybody else did, and so did Kevin. You know, it's like I played, ran track, was a lifeguard. Did up, you know, chase girls or try to get them to chase me. I did all the stuff that everybody else did, played football in the middle of the street, but I also played music all the time. And I would just play, I would take lessons sometime. In fact, when I my first starting lessons, there was this little girl in the ponytails that was in a class opposite mine. They said, there's this other little girl that's really good. You should meet her. And I remember we met when I was about 6 or 7. And she said, I said, my name is Brian. She says, my name is Patrice. That was Patrice Rush.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she and I have remained good friends over the years. But I just kept doing it. And then in my senior year in high school, I decided I want to start a band.
Right.
And my parents let me have the garage, you know, sort of remodel it for just having the band rehearse there. And, you know, things just went step by step from there. So I credit the both of them for supporting our efforts so much with both my brother and I having an opportunity to become professional musicians.
Okay. And for our listeners and your fans who don't know, Kevin O'Neill also plays the bass and lays he's a vocalist also in the Bus Boys. So, you know, your parents, they did an awesome job.
he was there when we first started. Kevin has since moved on and is a really brilliant bassist, still composer, and does a lot of great work on his own now. But I just saw him. I went to go. My mother had a luncheon that she was honored at because she's one of the founding members of the city of Carson, and they had a thing for the stroke center there that bears her and my father's name. And I just saw my brother there, and Kevin's career is doing exceedingly well also, and, you know, I'm very proud of him.
Okay. So right now we're going to play Cleaning Up the Town, which was on the Ghostbusters soundtrack. So let me give your listeners and your fans a little bit of taste and take them back to that. All right? Who
Sounds
you going to call?
All
right.
To clean up your town.
Clean up your town. That's right. Mr. Brian O'Neill, Bus Boys, right here on Facebook and Seth Radio.
I've got you a great gig. You're going to thank me for this. Trust me. I told you you were going to love it.
Oh, yeah. Love it, love it, love it. So, Mr. Brian O'Neill.
Yes, Miss Diamond.
For our listeners who have just tuned in, we have Mr. Brian O'Neill on the line from the Bus Boys.
Yes, yes, we do. We're doing this thing together.
Oh, yeah. So you guys have been giving us hits for over 30 years. I mean, with the unique performances, high energy, hit songs, real flavor. You know, tell us your thoughts on how music has changed and how artists like to sample old school hits and bring us the new school flavor.
Well, you know, I always think, I have a saying, so there's only two kinds of music, good and everything else.
Right, right.
And I like good music, so I have had a great opportunity to listen to things that came before me, things that were happening during the exact same time from different genres, and then to watch the whole development of new forms, you know, like the two new forms have basically come to the fore since we started. One is EDM, electronic dance music, which is its own thing. And then, of course, everything hip-hop. Rap and hip-hop didn't really exist when we first got started, same way. Now, the things that it sort of came from, the Last Poets and Gil Scott-Heron and things of that nature, of course, I was very familiar with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as things started to take off and the genre developed, I've been impressed by a lot of it and have incorporated some things and, you know, a lot of great artists that I like. The one thing that is a little different for me is the amount of electronics that are involved with the making of the music. Like when I listen to a record now, I could be listening to anybody from Hova to Katy Perry to any number of people, right?
Uh-huh.
And I can pick out almost like the number of instruments that anybody played.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and they're very few. It's mostly programmed, except for the vocal and the rap and a few key pieces of something that might have been sampled from something that was actually played. But it's not a lot of actual playing. That doesn't make it good or bad. It's just different. You know, and I like a lot of that, but I am still a guy who really likes to hear musicians play instruments.
Okay, the originality.
Well, I wouldn't just call it that, no, because it's original. Now, Drake's real original now, come on. It's like,
Oh, yeah.
So it's not a matter of just being original. This is just, it's just a new art form and a new way of doing it. I'm just saying that I personally like to listen to and watch people play instruments as well as sing and rap and or do their poetry or whatever they're going to do on top of it. I do like – now, I like electronic music, too. It's a lot of stuff. I mean, I've been listening to a bunch of the different kinds of electronic things and synthesized things for as long as they've been making synthesizers. I mean – the Robert Moog stuff and all. Of course, Stevie Wonder was a pioneer with that, with some of those early records we talked about earlier. And so I'm not like a purist or something like that. I only want to hear my record. Somebody play the instrument. I'm not an old man in the snow like that, man. It's like a lot of electronic stuff I really like. But by and large, when I start listening to a lot of music, it's like, okay, so when I've listened to a certain amount of newer things, I go, okay, so now let me put somebody on that plays and sings, and when I say that, I mean mm-hmm. where there's instruments being played and singing being done and whatever electronics are being worked into that, as opposed to like that being the kind of like the main foundation of it. So, but I just like listen to all good music, man. It's like I hear a lot of great stuff. I hear a lot of great stuff. I also like things that have some lyrical depth and a different take on things. See, one of the reasons I think that Jay-Z has been a cut above many other rappers in a certain way is because it's not just about how great he is. I mean, I'm all up for a good brag, too. I mean, all the way from going back to Muddy Waters, you know. It's like, I'm a man.
Yeah.
So it's like, so I'm not anti that. It's just besides the fact that you're great, okay, I got you. I believe you. You're great. You are, you know, all that, the chips
you're
and everything else they thought of. Now, besides that, what else is going on?
Right.
You know? And so I like perspective, lyrical perspective out of things. And I still hear some of that some of the time with things, and I dig that.
So as an extremely talented artist, what advice would you give upcoming artists about the industry and, you know, how to make it to a level of your success?
Well, I wouldn't just aim for mine, but here's – I mean, we could go on about this, but here's one thing I try to impart with people, too, a couple of things. First of all, you have to do it because you love it. If you're doing it just because you – or if your primary motivation is like you're going to get paid, that could work for you, and good luck to you. But I really think it's got to sort of be in your blood that this is what you do. I mean, I have had times, good times of cash flow, and not so good times over the course of my career. And if you look at most people who've been in the business a long time, there's been some part of that involved with it for all of them, right? And plus, you're gonna have to go through the same ups and downs everybody else has to go through. You know, love, life, pursuit of happiness, all kind of things. But if you love what you do, then it has its own reward. And it gives you a much better chance at being successful because you're not just measuring it off of things that happen in terms of the business of it. You have like a artistic identification of what you do, and you're just proud of your work, and you go, okay, well, that can't be taken from me. If you're a real artist, you feel like this is going to outlive me. So, and I really feel like a lot of people, whether it's, you know, Duke Ellington or Tupac, you feel that way. Like, this is my contribution. This is my legacy. This is my thing. This is what I do.
Right.
Now, on a business tip, I would say to people, one thing that to always remember is that you're your own business. And I mean, I think that's one thing I think that the hip hop culture has really embraced and done very well with. You know, a record label is not there to discover you. You know, it's like they're not like the business equivalent of your parents. Like they're gonna make no. You're already in business and they're in the business of expanding you as a business. And this relationship is going to end. It's not a marriage. It's not a thing, like you say, till death do us part. Oh, no. It's got X amount of years to it. Things are going to happen. And I promise you, it's not going to last forever. So what you're trying to do is set your business up for you to be successful and to be successful with others. Good business is when everybody makes money. So when you get to your record label situation, rather than it being as much push and pull, you're trying to say, wait a minute, let's let's consolidate our businesses and see if I can make you some money, you can make me some. We work that as long as we can, hard as we can, everybody do their best. When it's time for it to part, try to part in ways where you don't burn all your bridges. It's not necessary. I tell people when they want to leave the band or where it's going to be a deal that's over with, you don't have to curse me out and shoot me and hope things go bad for my children.
Right.
That's not required. You just say, hey, it's time to move on. It's great to give people notice, too, so they can just go like, okay, make whatever they have to say, and then say, okay, well, then let's get this worked out. Part, go on your ways and go on to the next piece of business that you had in mind. So those are the love what you do for the art of it, and always think of yourself as a business, not as an artist getting discovered and now they're going to make you a star. Man, that's fantasy stuff. That's what they sell you on old 40s movies and behind-the-scenes stories that really aren't behind the scenes.
Wow, that's phenomenal advice. I mean, that's a nugget right there. I mean, because that's real. You know, that's coming from you, and you're in the industry, so you understand exactly how important it is to keep those business relationships and not to burn bridges. So I think that is really important. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to play Minimum Wage by you guys. So,
okay, and
here you have it.
Throw one of the new ones in there, too, before we're done. Must Be Saturday Night and City's on Fire, some of that stuff.
Oh, you know what? As a matter of fact, since you requested it, I'm going to play Must Be Saturday Night.
All
right.
Right
here on Facebook Success Radio.
When the boys are playing and the girls are swaying, must be Saturday night. When the lights are on bright and the crowd is right, must be Saturday night. Being out of town all week, trying to make sure we keep that good thing around. When the weekend comes, we're up for having fun, and you can't keep a good man down. When the boys are playing and the girls are singing, must be Saturday night. And if you're feeling this song and you want to sing along, just put your lips together, you can't go wrong, babe. Na, 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 na,
hey.
Must be Saturday night. Na, 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 na,
hey.
Must be
Saturday night.
Get a piano player song.
everybody, we're back. Yeah, that was a good one. If only you guys could see what we're doing behind scenes. I mean, I'm up, I'm moving around, and goodness, I mean, that one right there, that's high energy right there. So as we get ready to wrap up the show, tell your fans how they can contact you, where they can follow you, or any upcoming shows that the Bus Boys might be having.
Okay. Well, you can always check us out on our website at busboys.com. And going out to our Facebook page, I usually post most of the newest stuff, like everybody else does, on Facebook, and it goes over to Twitter. So our Facebook is, Facebook/TheBusBoys. And our Twitter is @BusBoys. So you can check us out there and see what we're doing, because we got a lot of stuff going on. I think we're getting ready to film some more things for our TV show. We got a little thing called Bus Boys TV. In fact, if you go out to our Facebook site, you can see some of the clips from that. And we are going to film a little more of that. I'm going to do a little more recording, and then I think over the summer here, we're going to do some selected dates. I think we're into Arizona and New Mexico to do something, then maybe through Texas and the South, maybe working our way back to Florida. And I'm hoping to get up to Connecticut and New York. That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Somewhere this summer, though, I have to do a hometown gig. I don't know when and where that's going to go down, but as soon as I know, I'll let you know, and we'll be posting these things.
Oh, that would be awesome. So there you guys have it, Mr. Brian O'Neill of the Bus Boys. You can find them on Facebook @BusBoys. You can also at them on Twitter. You can also at them on Twitter @TheBusBoys. So there you have it. Mr. Brian O'Neill, we want to thank you for your time today. We want to thank you for all the advice that you dropped on us and taking us back to where real rock and roll is.
Well, I want to thank you, Ms. Diamond, for inviting me to participate with your wonderful radio show. It was a great interview, and I'll be now tuning in to you more often to find out who else is on here that we can listen to and what's going on.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I appreciate you today.
Okay, right back at you.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to end the show today with Cities on Fire by the Bus Boys, Mr. Brian O'Neill.
Can I shine y'all shoes? I just love to shine y'all shoes.
Shoe shine boy. Shoe shine boy.
Okay. Y'all come right now. Been all day shining shoes. When I got off, I wanted something to do. So I got a suggestion from a real good friend. He said,
check out the
Thank you.
long enough to watch Hendrix cry while the city burns, but the dream won't die. Mama, Daddy, I don't understand. On TV I saw police beating on a man. Worse than they treat animals in a zoo. Mama and Daddy, what we gonna do? If you're not supposed to treat people that way, what do you think the people will say? Son, tell you the truth, we don't know. Feels like something might blow. Judging by the beatdown I just saw, looks like some people do what they want, and most of the time they don't get caught. But when they do, I don't understand. Look at the way they keep beating on the man. Son, tell you the truth, we don't know. Better stay inside, cause something might blow. Daddy, I don't understand. On TV I saw police beating on a man. Worse than they treat animals in a zoo. Mama and Daddy, what we gonna do? If you're not supposed to treat people that way, what do you think the people will say? Son, tell you the truth, we don't know. Feels like something might blow.
some people better than the law, cause judging by the beatdown I just saw, looks like some people do what they want, and most of the time they don't get caught. But when they do, I don't understand. Look at the way they keep beating on the man. Son, tell you the truth, we don't know. Better stay inside, cause something might blow.
Well, there you have it, Cities on Fire by the Bus Boys. Well, I want to take this time out to thank my special guest for today, Mr. Brian O'Neill of the Bus Boys. And I want to say I appreciate you for your interview today.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Diamond. And, again, I will be tuning in to more of your shows and seeing what's going on, and appreciate you taking some time with me and playing some Bus Boys music today. That's important.
No problem, no problem. I'll make sure I incorporate you guys into all the shows.
Thank you, honey.
All right, thank you, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. This is your girl, Ms. Diamond, with Interviews with the Stars. I want to thank you guys for tuning in today. We had a special guest, Mr. Brian O'Neill of the Bus Boys. So special shout out to him. I also want to shout out Dion DTV from Power NEN Detroit. I want to shout out Mark Hustle of Go Hard Clothing. Miss Pearl, say congrats to Latonya Flowers for graduating with your master's degree. And high school graduates, Nikita McGee, Mario McGee, and Alicia Brooks. Right here on Faces of Success Radio. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Let's go.